Hi guys, and happy Wednesday. I hope you guys are having a great Wednesday so far and you're gearing up for the royal wedding that's happening on Saturday. Are you guys going to wake up early and watch that wedding live, or are you going to tune in later on during the day for the rerun, or could you care less about the royal wedding? For me, I'm definitely going to be tuning in live on Saturday morning, so I will be there with my tea and my tiara on. But you guys are here for Wedding Wednesday, which is a little podcast series that's all about the wedding day with tips and tricks for brides and grooms who are actually planning their wedding. For those of you guys who are tuning in for the first time, I'm Jasmine. I own and run Jasmine Orr's Photography, and I'm an award-winning and published wedding photographer located in Indiana, but I serve clients worldwide. Today for Wedding Wednesday, we're going to be talking about all about the ceremony, everything from location, the officiant, vows, and more. This will be kind of like your ultimate guide to your ceremony. So we're first going to talk about the location. The first thing that you're going to need to do when it comes to your ceremony is to choose a location. There are three main types of ceremony locations: a place of worship, outdoor venue, and your reception venue. Below here are some pros and cons of each location to help with your venue search. So for the place of worship, the pros is most locations will already have an officiant already in place, and some may include some ceremony musicians and singers. Cons with this location is most locations will only allow you to get married there if you are a member. The ones that do allow outside weddings will require a fee. You may also have restrictions on your decor and time of your ceremony as well. The second type of location is an outdoor venue. The pros to this venue is outdoor locations can be beautiful and may have a special tie to you and your fiancé. The natural beauty of an outdoor location can help you save on decorations. The cons to this is obviously you're going to have a backup plan for rain. You can't predict the weather, so you have to have that backup plan for if it rains. You will also likely have to be responsible for bringing in everything such as tables and chairs, maybe even restrooms, and anything else. Parking at the location may be scarce, and you will have to check about the noise ordinance in the area as well. And the third type of venue is your reception venue. And the pros to having it at your reception venue is having your ceremony and reception in the same area will make things a little easier. You won't have to worry about travel time or worry about your guests getting lost between locations. The cons on this one is if you're Catholic, most churches won't recognize ceremonies held outside of the church. And if your venue doesn't have two separate spaces for your ceremony and reception, then you will have to allow time for the room to be flipped from the ceremony setup to the reception setup. So hopefully that kind of helps you there when you start thinking about your location for your ceremony. The second thing to keep in mind is your officiant. So you have to have somebody who will officiate your wedding. If you are getting married in a place of worship, then your officiant is usually already included in the package. However, if you are having a ceremony anywhere else, then you can usually use whatever officiant you'd like. You can hire a non-denominational officiant to oversee your wedding, or you can use a friend or a family member. It's pretty easy to get ordained online, and sometimes it makes your ceremony a little more personal and fun if it's someone that you know. Regardless of who your officiant is, you will want to make sure that they will be flexible to your wedding vision, get to know you and your love story, and are familiar with your faith, and will be able to make your guests laugh and have a great time. The third thing that we're going to talk about is ceremony structure. So when it comes to kind of the layout of your ceremony, you can really make your ceremony as long or as short as you would like. You can include in readings and songs, you can have a full mass, or you can keep things short and sweet and just seal the deal with the guests. Whatever you're envisioning, you can make happen. There's no set in stone way that you absolutely have to have your ceremony. However, to give you a starting point, here's a breakdown of what happens in most ceremonies. So first, what will happen is the introduction. Your officiant will say some sort of introduction. They will talk about you both as a couple and get the ceremony started. And then we'll go into the vows. You can say standard vows or you can write your own vows. And then the exchange of the rings. So if you're exchanging rings, this is where this part will happen. Your officiant will make an announcement and you will normally repeat sayings after your officiant. Then a lot of times there'll be a blessing. The officiant will normally say something to bless the couple with a happy marriage and life. This is also where any special aspects of your ceremony will occur, such as a candle lighting, wine ceremony, sand ceremony, mass, anything like that. And then, of course, the kiss will happen, along with a presentation of the couple. After all the formalities are over, then the kiss will happen. After this kiss, your officiant will officially present you as a married couple, and your guests will clap and cheer. So when it comes to your vows on the wedding day, I know this is one place where a lot of people struggle. So if you're planning on writing your own vows, then you may be a little stumped. The best advice is to keep it short and sweet and really speak to your future spouse. Talk about how you first met, when you realized that you wanted to marry them, talk about your past and future together, and talk about how happy you are. Your vows do not have to be long and can be about 400 words or less. Just follow your heart and really speak to your future spouse. And then here are some common ceremony mistakes to avoid. So these are all very important. The first is obviously a rain plan. You need a rain plan if you are having any part of your wedding outdoors. Having a plan in place from the front will save you from scrambling day of if something were to happen. Also, some rental places will allow you to reserve a backup rain tent for a smaller deposit. So that's something to keep in mind as well. Make sure you have that rain plan. You don't want to have to figure it all out the day of your wedding. The second common mistake is not having enough seats. You will want to have more seating than you think you will need. People will leave seats in between each other when they sit, so that will leave late arriving guests standing in the back so they don't have to squeeze between people. So just go ahead and put out a couple extra rows of seats. Make sure you have more than enough. That way, all of your guests are able to sit down and watch the ceremony without having to stand in the back. Another common ceremony mistake is having too many programs. A lot of couples think that they need to print a program for every single person that's going to be attending and some left over. And not all guests will take a program. Most couples will share, and children do not need one. Most couples will order a program for each guest and then a few extras, and at the end of the wedding, they are stuck with a lot of leftovers. So aim for a little bit less than what your guest count is, and obviously make sure you have some extras for yourself and your photographer to photograph. But other than that, you do not need to account for a program for every single person. And the last common ceremony mistake that you want to avoid is not having a plan for the gifts. You need some sort of gift table and a place for cards at both the ceremony location and the reception. Most guests will bring the gift to the reception, but there are always a few who bring their gift to the ceremony. This is also true if you have some guests who will only be attending the ceremony and not the reception. You also need to appoint someone to gather those gifts and transport them. That way you don't have to worry about it. At the end of your reception, the last thing you need to be doing is collecting all of the gifts. And don't forget to write your thank you cards. So that's it for this installment of Wedding Wednesday, which is tips and tricks for brides and grooms who are actively planning their wedding. Hopefully this ceremony guide will help you guys out a little bit when it comes to your ceremony. So that's it for this time. Tune in next time for our next installment of Wedding Wednesday. Have a great week and weekend.